A recently released movie has been making waves. That movie is Noah. And if you've listened to radio, TV, read on the computer, or in papers, it has received a variety of reviews. And many of them, if not all of them, refer to the spectacular side effects. And even from the clips on TV, you can see that the side effects are really spectacular. And they certainly do an incredible job of showing the devastation that a worldwide global flood would bring. But how accurate is that movie with respect to the biblical account? The director of the movie himself has said that it was the least biblical movie ever made. Let's go, first of all, to the Bible and look at the differences, if any, between the movie and the Bible. We'll begin by looking at Genesis chapter 6, where we're introduced to Noah and his remarkable life. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, we are given the reason for all of this. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 5, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 13. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that's eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. There's a few observations from the movie that show us the differences between the biblical account and the movie. In the movie, the word God is never used. In other words, Noah or any of the other people never use the word God. The only word that's used for the divine nature is Creator. And that is what the divine essence or nature is called throughout the movie, is Creator. One of the more unusual things in the movie is fallen angels. Fallen angels, and by that he means those who have fell from heaven because of their disbelief, because of their rebellion, become what is called watchers. They become watchers. And they have a particular function on earth during this time. They look like giant rock people. I don't know a better way to describe them. They're kind of like, if you could imagine a rock transformer, That's kind of what they would be, is a rock transformer. It's kind of like a big rock with a person inside. But they are called watchers, and they are fallen angels. And they represent a certain type of living thing on earth. One of the things that becomes quite apparent throughout the movie in a number of different scenes and a number of different actions is the strong environmental element that's in the movie. And by that I mean things like this. Noah scolds a young Ham, one of the sons, because he picks a flower. And Noah scolds him because you should not pick flowers or, pick anything like that from the earth. You should leave it alone. More about that later when we talk a little bit more about the environment. Probably one very big contradiction between the movie and the Bible is the reason for the flood. We read there in Genesis chapter 6 what God said about the flood. The flood was because man had sinned. We go back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That is why God sends the flood, is to rid the world of man's wickedness. But in the movie, that is not mentioned. Man's rebellion against God, man's sin and transgression against God is not brought out at all. The reason in the movie that mankind is being punished with this flood comes from a conversation Noah has with his wife. Noah tells his wife that God is punishing mankind for how they've treated the earth. In other words, mankind has not treated the earth right. There's the environmental element coming again. Man has not treated plant life right. Man has not treated the animal life right. Man has not treated, the waters and the soil and the air right. It's because of what man has done to the earth that God is going to destroy man. It has nothing to do with man's rebellion against God or man's sin or wickedness. So that is a huge, huge difference between what the Bible says in Genesis 6 and what is found in the movie. Noah is told, of course, by God to prepare this ark, and we're given the dimensions of the ark and its size and so forth. It's a very large vessel in every sense. It is obviously is not made for speed. It's just made for safety and to keep those alive that are inside. As an aside, there is a project where the ark, one that is exactly the size of the one in the Bible, is being built. And I'm looking forward to seeing it one day. A few years from now it should be done, maybe in a couple years. The cost of the project is about $26 million to build the ark. I doubt if Noah's cost quite that much, but it might have. But in today's money, that's how much it's costing to build. But obviously, a vessel of that size would take a lot of wood. So in the movie, where that wood comes from is Noah gets a seed from Methuselah. And of course, we know who Methuselah is. Methuselah dies during the year of the flood. We don't know if he died in the flood. We just know that he died in that year of the flood. So he gets a seed from Methuselah that supposedly, allegedly came from the Garden of Eden. And that seed grows into a garden which produces all the wood for the ark. And of course, there's nothing in the Bible that, even suggests that. We also note that the Bible says that God was going to bring all the animals to the ark. Noah did not have to go get any of the animals. The animals came to Noah. Now, in the movie, Noah and his wife make a sleeping potion, for lack of a better word, make a sleeping potion that they give to the animals, and then the animals immediately go to sleep. And so the animals sleep on the ark for that whole time because Noah and his wife make a sleeping potion. Also, something that goes against what the Bible said. The Bible says there were 8 souls that were saved through water. There were 8 souls on the ark. Noah and his wife, Noah's 3 sons, and Noah's and his son's wife. So there were 8 people. In the movie, Tubal-Cain, who was Lamech's son, sneaks aboard the ark and makes it 9. Well, that contradicts what the Bible said. Also, Shem's wife, one of Noah's sons, Shem's wife delivers twins on the ark. Well, that also contradicts the Bible because the Bible says there were only 8 souls on the ark. These twins, Noah has intentions of killing. And I really don't have time to go into why Noah wants to kill those twins. But also, Noah, in a kind of a retelling, while Noah's on the ark, he recounts a history of the world. In other words, he tells those on the ark where the world came from and how it came to this point in time. And in that retelling, he talks about the world coming into existence from a big bang. He talks about the evolution of man, that man was not created, but Noah says that man evolved from a small one-celled organism like amoeba and over great periods of time evolved into man. And so Noah describes that on the ark. One thing that comes to the forefront is that throughout the movie, you don't see Noah being concerned about people. Even though the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness, that he preached for a long, long time to the people to get them to be saved. In the movie, that's not how he's projected. He, in the movie, is far more concerned about plants and animals than people. Because the intent is for man to be wiped out and there be no more people on earth, only plants and animals. So it has a very pro-plant and animal concept and kind of anti-people as well. And there's a lot of other things that could be mentioned, many, 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 many others as well. And I think this definitely shows that this probably is the least biblical movie ever made. But that doesn't mean there's not some tremendous lessons that can be learned from the ark, especially how the ark and the church are so similar in many ways. The ark and the church, and I'm talking about the Lord's church, that one body, how similar they are. When we go look at Genesis chapter 6, God tells Noah to build one ark. He doesn't tell Noah to build several arks. He doesn't tell Noah to build one big ark and then several small boats. He tells Noah to just build one ark. And it's only in that one ark where safety is going to be found. Well, the Bible says that Christ built only one church in that great verse in Matthew 16:18, where Peter has made the confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ replies, Jesus replies, you're Peter, and upon this rock, that confession, I will build my singular church. My church. One. So just like Noah was instructed to build one ark, there is only one church. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul told the Colossian Christians about the one body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says this, referring to Christ, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. He is the head of the body, the church. One. Not many, just one. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. To the Ephesian Christians, he says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One body. We're told, as we mentioned this morning in 1 Corinthians 12, that we were baptized into one body, and that's done by the Spirit. So one body, one church, over and over and over that is emphasized. There are not many, many churches where salvation can be found. There is one and one only, just like there was only one ark. People could not have survived if they had built another ark. If people somewhere had built another boat or whatever, they would not have survived. Only those in this particular ark were saved. And what a tremendous lesson that is. Another lesson is, the ark only had one door. Remember when we read it? There was one door put in the side. One and only one door. And God was the one who shut it, didn't He? God shut that door. So God told Noah where to put the door and how many doors there were. So it came from God. The Bible says there's only one door into the body of Christ, into the church. In John chapter 10, verse 9, where Jesus is talking to some followers about sheep and the shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. There is no other way. It's just through Him. He is the door. People could not have tried to get into the ark. Once that door was closed, it wouldn't have made any difference. People tried to climb on the ark or do anything else. They would have been lost. They would not have made it. There's only one door, and Jesus says He is the door into the church. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. He says there's one way, and it's me. So the ark only had one door. The church only has one door as well. There's not multiple ways into the church. Even though many, many religions teach there are different ways, the Bible says there's one. We come through Jesus Christ and Him only. The third lesson is that salvation was found only in the ark. In Genesis chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, this is what's recorded. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So these were all the dry land creatures. So He destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. No one outside the ark survived. No one. Salvation was only found inside the ark. Well, similarly, salvation is only found in the church. And we know that in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul told the Ephesians in verse 23, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. What is he the Savior of? The body. How many bodies were there? He says one. The body. All the saved are in his body. All the saved are in the church. The church and the saved are the same. There are no saved people outside the church. He makes that just as clear as can be there in verse 23. The church includes all the saved. One cannot be saved apart from the church because he's the Savior of the body. I don't think that could be any clearer. And lastly, those in the ark were saved through water. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, Peter writes this, "Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." They were saved through water. That's what saved them. And of course, we know from that account how devastating the destruction of the world was. The world after the flood was vastly different than the world before the flood. Probably unrecognizable. When Noah and those other, the rest of his family, when that door was opened and they came out, they probably did not recognize the world at all. That's how much it would have changed. We know what just a local flood does and how it can just totally change the terrain and the landforms. Well, a massive global cataclysm like this flood would have completely changed the surface of the earth. It was totally different. So Noah, certainly, and his family, when they came out, they were entering a brave new world because it was very, very different. So they were saved through water. Now, in the very next verse, verse 21 of 1 Peter 3, it says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Those in the church are saved through water as well. That's how one is saved. Is baptism essential? If you want to be saved, it is. If you want to be saved, baptism is essential. Just like during the days of Noah. They were saved through water. Those in the church have been saved through water in a very similar way. There was massive devastation and destruction there at that time. Massive devastation. All those people, and there's no doubt there were millions and millions, some even think billions of people at that time. All of them, with the exception of eight, lost their lives. Just eight were saved. And that was because they believed God and acted upon their belief. They didn't just believe that there was a flood coming. They acted upon their belief. They acted upon their belief. And so because of that, they were saved. All those outside the church will lose their lives also. All of them. We know that because Paul said by inspiration that Jesus is the Savior of the body. So every single saved person is in the church. The church and the saved are exactly the same people. And as they were saved through water, so are we. Water is so essential. It's essential to our physical lives, but more importantly, water is essential to our spiritual lives because it's being baptized in water, immersed in water for the remission of sins that gets us through that door into our spiritual ark. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. If we want the truth, where do we go? We go to God's Word. Thy word is truth, John 17:17. We want to know the truth about creation, we go to the Bible. We want to know the truth about where plants and animals and people came from, we go to the Bible. We want to know the truth about the flood, we go to the Bible. We want to know the truth about Jesus, we go to the Bible. His church, we go to the Bible. Salvation, we go to the Bible. The world doesn't have the truth. The truth has been left for us within His Word. And how blessed we are because of it. If there is any need for you tonight to respond to that great invitation to become a New Testament Christian, to ask for forgiveness, to ask for prayers, then we encourage you and urge you to come as we stand and sing this invitation song.